So over the last few weeks, we've studied the reality that when we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ, he redefined all our relationships with both believers and unbelievers. And as a result, he's asked us to reprioritize those relationships according to the priority that he has established for us. And I believe we've detailed quite exhaustively in part A, B, and C, okay, how we are to be in relationships with unbelievers. Thus tonight, at least eventually tonight, we're going to switch, okay, and talk about our relationship with believers. However, before I go there, I want to take a moment to take a temperature check, okay, a self-assessment on how we are living, okay, based on what we have studied so far. I have a question for you. What happens if you run low on oil in your engine? Serious damage can occur, okay? Which is why most vehicles have some sort of indicator or some kind of light gauge telling you that you are heading for inevitable disaster if you don't do something quickly. So quite simply, an engine needs oil to run, and without it, you can expect a meltdown. It will happen. And usually when the light gauge goes on or the meter is telling us that, you know, your oil's on the low side, you still have time to take care of the situation. It's a warning. You know, it's not telling you now. It's saying, you know, you need to do something about this. But if you wait and just push it too far, just keep pushing it, hoping that somehow the problem will take care of itself or just denying that the problem is even there, you know what? Your journey is going to come to a very sudden and costly end. In the same way, God has given us indicators or gauges that we can look to as a way to know if we are heading towards inevitable disaster or if we are safe and can just travel down this life, this path without fear. Therefore, before we move on in our study and talk about our relationship with believers, I want us to stop and have each of us, okay, take a look at our own personal gauge. We're not going to look at other people's gauges for now, okay? I know we always have that in our heads. I really want us to be honest for a moment and take a real look within. And I understand that most of us don't like to look in very often, at least not for real, not all the way in. Because, you know, not only do we not like what we see, it's different than what we think, you know, we're portraying, think that we are, but it also just requires work to fix, you know, we think in our minds. And so we just kind of like, I'd rather just avoid it and pretend that it's not there. It's called classic case of denial. But we all tend to do that. It's just something that we do to function, to live. But tonight I want us to step underneath that denial, okay, and really stare at, you know, taking a true self-assessment of ourselves. Sometimes it takes other people to cause that to happen in our life. Someone who comes to us and finally puts it in our face and says, look, you need to stop. You need to look at what's going on. Normally when that happens, we just react with anger, defensiveness, and push that person away, you know, and we try to just brush it on and, you know, get mad at them as a way to redirect so we don't really have to come to grips with what they see or what we're seeing in the mirror. Here's the thing. If you are not willing to take an honest look, absolutely brutal, gut brutal honest, you know what? You might be on the edge of personal disaster, with extremely costly consequences, not only to you, but to others in your life. And as believers, I really think it is critical that we are not the kind of people who live in self-deception or denial. Okay? We, of all people, are to be legitimate and genuine, realizing just how nothing we are without God. I mean, we should absolutely, that should be our baseline. Somehow we just don't even like that. We like to somehow keep propping ourselves up, pushing ourselves up as if somehow it has something to stand on, and it doesn't. And you know what? It's okay. It is really okay. It is okay to take a look at it within. It's okay to see where we are, and it's okay to remember God has done it all for us. Although right now, you may not be experiencing, okay, any serious problems right at this moment, okay? If your engine is low on oil, trust me, the damage is inevitable. It's just a matter of time. So don't be so prideful to think that just because it's not biting you in the rear right now that it's not going to. Or don't be so prideful to think that just because you're not doing any of the real bad stuff that, you know, you're okay and things are okay with God. You got to remember, I want to shift your paradigm. Life is not about good and bad, right or wrong. It's not about a checklist of holy behaviors that you're complying with. It's about faith. Is Jesus living his life in and through you? Would others say so? Is that how others would assess you? Does your attitude and does the fruit of your life abundantly express the character and nature of God? Let me state that again, okay? If we want to look for a baseline, does your attitude, okay, your character and your behavior, you know, does the fruit of your life abundantly express the nature and character of God? Are you day in and day out, okay? Are those choices that you make every single day, do they align up with the Word of God? Are you truly living a changed life? Remember Galatians 6:15 through 16. What counts is whether we have really been changed into new and different people. You got it? That's what matters. It's not our pride. It's not our looks. It's not our capabilities. It's not protecting ourselves so others don't see, you know, what's inside. No, all that really matters is, have we been changed into new and different people? And then it says, may God's mercy and peace be upon all those who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Because when you live by this principle that the new creation is all that really matters, and that is then what you let live, okay, God's mercy, his grace, and his peace will be on you. Because you will be living as a new person of God. It's a beautiful thing. And I know that, like many of you, okay, have had, you know, very difficult times, you know, in terms of your walk with God over the past year or, you know, couple of years, especially with regard to the power and the influence and the control that the world and those in the world have had over your life. Some people have had, like, death grips on your throat. And many of you have made serious mistakes that have given the opportunity you would absolutely undo the choices that you made. And I also know that you didn't just wake up one day and say, you know, this is where I'm going, jumping off a, you know, a diving board and say, I'm going to give myself to the world and the people of the world. No, it was a progression of choices that led you to a point where the engine was without oil and you had a meltdown. You crashed. And that is notwithstanding the fact that the entire your time, okay, your light, your oil light was flashing on and off, warning you, and you just ignored it. In fact, over time, you probably really didn't even notice it anymore. It was like you just got used to it. And it's just like, yeah, of course that blinks. It's supposed to blink. Oh, well. And you just became blind to it. I don't want this year to be a repeat of last year. I don't want any of you to experience that pain ever again. I don't want to see you push away wisdom, push aside God, okay, and blindly run towards that inevitable meltdown, especially when it's so easy to avoid. That is why I believe God has led me to teach on our redefined relationships and reprioritization within our relationships. See, relationships are potentially, I believe they are, but somebody can make a different argument, one of the most powerful and controlling influences in our life. Especially if we've crossed certain lines and given our emotions or our physical bodies, our sexuality to somebody, then it is just so unbelievably powerful and gripping and controlling you. That's why I want to tell you that if you do not get this part right, if you do not follow God's instructions on relationships, you will be hurt, okay? And the damage will potentially be paralyzing, at least for some period of time. And it will take a while to heal. Proverbs 8:36 says, but he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Okay, it is so important that you really get a grasp of God's heart and why he's given us instructions in these relationships. Quite simply, you must understand that when you sin, you do not hurt God. When you ignore his instructions, it does nothing to him. All it does is hurt yourself. And God loves you so much that he no longer wants you to be, you know, running around with these self-inflicted wounds that you keep doing to yourself. He wants that to stop. So that's why tonight we're going to check our gauges. See if that light is flashing red. See if we've been ignoring it. See if we're headed for danger. And tonight I'm going to give you an opportunity to stop and to turn and go the other way. The gauges that we're going to look at tonight are essentially just fruit, the fruit that is normally produced from our lives. And we're going to look at various aspects of a spirit-filled life based on what we've been talking about, redefined relationships, new responsibilities, how we interact with unbelievers. And then we're going to ask ourselves, is it clear by our choices, by our attitudes and our behavior, that we are living as new and different people? You should be able to recognize, you know, these gauges because they come straight from the last 3 weeks' teachings. Okay, so it's nothing new. We're just going to review what God said our lives will be like or we should be experiencing if we are walking in the Spirit of God. Number one, are you living as an ambassador of God? I mean, do you enter into relationships, you know, desiring that these unbelievers in your life get saved? Are you desiring to bring His light into their lives? Are you that instrument? Do you find yourself being that instrument which God uses to bring healing into their lives? Their hearts are needy, okay? Their throats are just parched, and they need truth. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know that there is something legitimate, genuine, and real out there. Not religion, not philosophy, not vanity, not everything else that they've tried that has been empty. Are you that vessel of healing? Number two, do you know who you are supposed to be investing in? Have you heard from God? Do you know those relationships that God has said, here, this is my assignment for you. I want you to go show them my love. Number three, are you willing to eat what is set before you? Are you willing to build relationships with those people that God has assigned you, regardless of how cute, cool, awesome, or wonderful they may or may not be? Are you willing to be in relationship and invest in your assignments, regardless of all their personal limitations and personal flaws, all their annoyances and all their hang-ups? Are you still willing to be in those relationships? Do you remember day in and day out that you are a lamb sent out in the midst of wolves, meaning you are in danger if you make yourself vulnerable to those in the world? Or do you enter into these relationships fully cloaked with the armor of God, only doing what you know God tells you to do, only saying what He tells you to say, and only going to those places where you know God has instructed you to go? Are you drawing people into your light, or are you slowly being led step by step into their darkness? Practically, you get a phone call or a text from one of your unbelieving friends, and they want to hang out. They want to spend time together. Well, are you bringing them into fellowship with your new family so that they get to experience the light that exists in all of us? Or are you going in the midst of their environment, their circles, their relationships, and their darkness? Now, if you're going in there fully clothed, that is fine. If you're going in there without the armor of God on, you know what? They're wolves. You're in danger. Are you emotionally, physically, or psychologically, you know, attached to someone who just simply does not love Jesus, whom Jesus is not their priority? And have you rationalized that away, saying that, you know, somehow it's okay? You're kind of just like ignoring that flashing light, just kind of saying, it's okay, and you've come up with reasons and explanations, you know, why it's okay to, you know, give yourself to unbelievers and spend the kind of time you do them with them that is not focused on, you know, you being a child and ambassador of God, them seeing that in you. Are you peaceable, gentle, and merciful when you have been wronged, when people have treated you so poorly? Or do you find yourself attacking back, giving evil for evil, cut for cut, judgment and condemnation for what they have done to you? Maybe they've treated you bad in the past, maybe way in the past, and you see them now and you still struggle with that. So maybe you badmouth them if they've been unfair with you. Or maybe you just punish them, okay? Because they've done something that, you know, hurt your feelings. And so your response is just to punish them when they have blown it relationally. Is that the norm? Do you find yourself praying for a blessing on those who hurt you? Those who have hurt your feelings? And do you ask God to make you that blessing so you can come back to them and feed them that peace of God so that you can be light to them? Remember, those who have done harm to you are probably really needing you to pour God's mercy in their lives. Can you legitimately rejoice with someone who has a real reason for rejoicing, regardless of what's going on in your life? I know that some of you are going through difficult things, and it really upsets you, it depresses you, and there's times where you just can't, you know, seem to function well. Are you still able to yet find a way inside because of what God has done for you to be happy for someone who is enjoying a piece of their life? Or what about you who is very comfortable sitting in your nice little bubble of self that you don't like to be bothered? Okay? You don't like your life upset very much or to be spun around or to get dirty. You know, you kind of like your routine, your habits, your studying, your gig. And you don't want somebody who's kind of messy, someone who's kind of emotionally not all together, to mess that up. Are you able to set aside that and go sit with them, someone who's going through difficulty, and be their friend? Help them through that. Walk with them. Doesn't matter how long it takes. Doesn't matter how, you know, many layers they have of emotional, you know, difficulty. Are you willing to be that friend in those times? Do you find yourself kind of just shunning people that aren't quite cool enough for you? That you just kind of like, you know, no. Or can you really find a way to enjoy the company of ordinary people? Everybody has a story. Everybody has a past. Everybody has unique things that make them who they are. Do you take pleasure in that, in discovering that, in mining that from people? Do you do all things in a way, okay, that others are able to see that you are honorable, that you have integrity, that you're not someone who just cuts corners, makes excuses, and says, oh, it's okay, just go do it anyways? I mean, do you show consideration for all men? Do you naturally have a spirit of submissiveness to the authorities in your life? Or do you tend to make it very difficult for them to exercise their God-given responsibilities in your life? Do you desire legitimately that unbelievers get saved, therefore you're not willing to do anything that's going to compromise their view of God in your life? And are you seeking the Lord's will in all your relationships? Are you kind of just plowing through life, letting things fall as they fall? I'm sure each of you have serious problems answering these questions in the way we would ideally want to answer them. But I don't want you to misunderstand why we went through this list, okay? This is not intended to be a personal checklist of good versus bad behavior that you should now go focus on and go and do it better this next time, you know? Try harder. That would be a big mistake. You know why? You'd fail. You'd absolutely fall flat on your face. Our life in Christianity, again, is not about good or bad. It's not about trying. It's not about complying. It's not about fitting within the rules. It's only about faith, walking in the Spirit of God such that He can live His life through yours. These gauges are there so that you don't live in self-deception, so that when you look, you see if that light is flashing, and you say, I need to stop now. Take care of this. See, reflecting on your attitudes, reflecting on the choices, the interactions you have with people, your behavior, is really a way to step back and look at the big picture and come to honest grips with what predominantly flows from your life. Remember that walking in the Spirit of God is a moment-by-moment decision. Thus, I am confident that every one of us has moments where we fail big time, and we can never say that, you know, we've met the standard. Here's the thing. I do not want you to focus on the moments when you have reacted out of the flesh. Those moments do not define who you are, and they do not define your relationship with God. Rather, I want you to think about the overall picture of your life. And what is the dominant reality that others experience when they have interactions with you? If you can honestly say that what flows from your life, as evident by these attitudes and choices and behaviors, is in alignment with the Spirit and yields love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, then praise God. Keep moving towards Him. Keep growing in Him. I mean, others will be experiencing the supernatural in you, and the flavor will be marvelous. It will taste wonderful. People will love to be in relationship with you. If, however, you can honestly, okay, look at yourself and conclude that perhaps the dominant outpouring of your attitudes, choices, and behaviors is not in alignment with God, then you know what? Praise the Lord. Because if right now, at this moment, you can see that, you know what that means? That means you've stopped long enough to be honest and look at the flashing light. That means that right now, tonight, you have the opportunity to actually stop and turn direction and go a different way. This is a good thing when you see a list like this or review it and analyze it and say, whoa, the outpouring of my life does not look like what God says it should look like. Remember, these things, when we discuss them, they're not issues of guilt. They're not issues of blame. They're not issues of condemnation. And they're not issues of judgment or acceptability to God. All it means is that regardless of the fact that you may be heading inevitably towards damage, you can stop right now and let the oil of the Spirit of God flow over your life. You can actually confess your sin. Do you remember what confession is? It's merely agreeing with God that for the most part, you have not given Him room to rule and reign in your heart. And then you can start the process of repentance, which is believing the truth, believing that God had a purpose in redefining our relationships, believing that it is right to reprioritize them accordingly, and align your choices up with the Word of God. In confession and repentance, you will find that the Spirit will start to dominate your thoughts, your attitudes, and your choices. Yes, He will dominate it. And He will naturally produce behaviors that bring glory to the Father. And you know what? You will naturally live a supernatural life. And the great thing about life in the Spirit is it is so overwhelmingly evident to everyone. Okay, some of these things that we talked about, you know what, on our own, we could probably force a couple of them. We could try really hard and try to, you know, have those outcomes, at least for moments of time. I guarantee you, you won't be able to sustain it. And I also guarantee you won't be able to do the full plethora of it, okay? You will just stumble all over the place. They are supernatural and can only be generated and sustained, okay, by a person who is living under the influence, direction, and control of the Holy Spirit of God. So I want you to understand that if you are living by faith and walking in the Spirit of God, these attitudes, these characteristics, these behaviors will naturally flow from your life. You won't have to make it happen. I know that sometimes when we talk about this or we review all these things, I mean, gentle and mercy and, you know, ambassador, okay, and love, protect, lamb, you know, it's like, whoa, this whole idea seems somewhat overwhelming and quite frankly, often impossible to adhere to. But I'm going to tell you, it is not, okay? It is the natural state of existence of your new creation. You don't have to muster up the strength. We don't have to have a pep rally to say, okay, we're going to go out there and we're going to not sin and we're going to do this right. You know, I'm not going to convince you that, you know, you're beautiful. And if you just think beautiful thoughts, you know, you can do it. No, okay? It is not up to you. If you choose to agree with God's prescription for relationships, that's it. Just start there. Just agree that God knows what He's talking about. And God loves you. He's not trying to harm you. That this is actually good for you. If you can just agree with that, and you can say, God, I want to live that way, you know what? He will fully enable you to live it. And he'll provide all you need if only you will let him. Look at Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. He's the one who provides everything all the time. It's not up to you. You can't muster it. You just have to yield to it, agree with it. Let down your pride and say, okay, God, and he will give you that desire to obey him, and he'll give you the very power to do the things that please him. And in 2 Corinthians 3:5-6, it is not that we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. He is the one who enabled us to represent his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old way, which is our self-effort, ends in death. In the new way, the Holy Spirit gives life. So when you believe that God's ways are right and that following him will lead you to life and peace, then you know what? It is not a big deal to align your choices with his word. It makes perfect sense. Besides, the Spirit within you, okay, is actually yearning, just yearning to be united with the Father in all things. You just have to do two things. Set aside your pride. It's tough. That's all you have to do. Set aside your pride. Number two, become deaf to the voice of your old man, the voice of your flesh. You need to tune your ears to the Spirit. You got that? You just have to set aside your pride, become deaf to the voice of your flesh, and tune your ears to the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:25 says, if we are now living by the Holy Spirit, which is our life in Christianity, okay, if you've been born again, you have life in the Spirit. Paul goes on to say, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. All aspects of your life, including all your relationships, are to be submitted to the influence, direction, and control of the Holy Spirit. Then you know what? He will lead you down the paths that are right. He will lead you to that place where you will know and experience how good, how perfect, and how pleasing his will really is. If you remember the references for that, that was Psalm 25:10. And Romans 12:2. This next verse, Amos 3:3. Can two people walk together without agreeing on a direction? This is actually a great transition point. I promised you eventually we'll get to our relationship with believers, so watch this merge. It's going to blend perfectly. Can you walk with God, okay, if he is going one way and you are going a different way? The obvious answer is what? No, it makes no sense. You can't. That is why you must follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life so that you're right there going where he's going. I mean, that is the only way to exist, to be where he is, which, by the way, is the safest place to be. That's where you want to find yourself because you know what? When you're following in the shadow of the Father, there is just peace, there's protection, and there is rest for your soul. So I am challenging you. Agree with the way in which God has redefined, okay, your relationships. I am challenging you to align your thoughts and your choices with God's word in this matter. I'm challenging you to daily check your gauges, daily do an internal assessment, okay, as a way of living in reality, as a way of being honest with yourself, to understand, was I living in the Spirit of God today, or was I predominantly living in my flesh? What was flowing from my life? Was I that blessing to those people? Was I not? I'm challenging you. Do it God's way, and you will find life and peace. Here's the thing. Same question. Can you walk with unbelievers unless you're going the same direction as they are going? Reality check. Reality check. Can you walk with unbelievers unless you're going the same direction they are going? If you're going the same direction they're going, are you going God's direction? No. Okay? There's no middle ground here. Okay? You're either walking with them towards darkness or they are walking with you towards the light. One or the other is happening. Again, don't be fooled. Don't live in denial. Don't live in some crazy rationalization. Even though your pace may be slow, the pace isn't the issue. It's the destination. Okay? That's the true matter at hand. Stop, turn around, walk toward the light. If they want to come with you, unbelievers want to come with you to the light, fine. Bring them along. The more the merrier. That's great. But if not, if they want to stay pointing towards their darkness and they want you to come join them, you know what? You must. You absolutely must walk away. You must separate and you must go another direction. There is no if, and, or buts. You must leave them to God and leave them to the choices that they make and how God is going to intervene in their life. You, for your part, remember, you're a child of God. You've been chosen by Him to be His own. You're part of His royal priesthood, this holy nation, His own possession. Therefore, you're to find your life, your friendship, your companionship, and your intimacy with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're to be identified with your new family, those who do the will of their Father in heaven. This is the direction you're to walk. And you know what? You're to stay together. You're to be like those little groups we see at night, you know. You're to be together, you know, roving, you know. We're not to be separated and vulnerable and exposed. Okay, we're to stay together. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Paul's instructions to Timothy are exactly the same as I'm instructing you now. Your friendship, your companionship, your intimacy, not to be with unbelievers. And it's not to be with those who call themselves Christians, but are really just living for their flesh and walking towards darkness. You are to align yourself, you're to invest yourself in those who pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And you're to just come right alongside and stand next to those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, those who seek His will. You see, these attributes are to be what fundamentally defines all your core relationships. Think of how you've made your relationship choices, you know, in the past or so far in your life. Most of you look at someone and determine, are they a good fit based on, you know, what do they look like? What are they into? How cool are they? How fun are they? How intelligent? How witty? How smart? How spiritual? How, you know, whatever. I mean, so on and so on and so on. Everybody has their own list and criteria for picking and choosing. But most of that, which you have experienced, okay, is so skin deep, it is so fragile, and it changes so often and so quickly that these people that you had this, like, you know, whoa, obsession with, when you really get to know them, they're nothing like what you thought they were going to be. It just changes, okay? But you know what? You have a perfect reason to be in intimate fellowship with other believers. Perfect because you share the same spirit that is perfect. Here's the thing. You share the same spirit. You are truly kin in the most real sense of that word. At the center of your being, each one of you have fallen in love with the same person, with Jesus. The Spirit is drawing all of us, each of you, together into oneness with each other and oneness with the God. So it is natural for the new creation to desire to want this kind of intimacy. Again, another gauge, another temperature check. If you can really care less about hanging around with believers who love God and just are pursuing Him and that their heart is focused on God, if that's kind of, temperature check. That tells me that you're probably living out of your old man. And you've probably squished the Holy Spirit into this little piece of your life. No, it should be the other way around. Because the new creation desires to be in oneness and in fellowship and in unity with other people. John 17 tells us that this is the very heart of God. So I'm asking you, please, please begin to yield to it. I've had many discussions, okay, with people about our relationships with each other. And I've been, you know, trying to be the mother hen or the dad. And I'm like encouraging people to reach out to others so that no one finds themselves alone, sitting in a dorm room somewhere, you know, being tempted to just find their fellowship and the fulfillment with people of this world. And you know what? I've gotten all sorts of responses. Some have said, you have to understand, you can't force relationships. We have nothing in common. You don't know them. They were mean to me last year or years ago in high school or sometimes in the past, and I'm not comfortable with them. I'm sure they've got people to be with. Besides, I'm comfortable with my own group, and someone new will kind of break that flow. I don't have time to think about it. I've got too much to do. If they want to come along, they can call me. I don't really like them anyways. They kind of annoy me. No one has any room to look down on anyone here. We've all have said or at least thought these things from time to time about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. With that said, this kind of thinking is absolutely selfish. It is absolutely fleshy. And you know what? I think I can say with full confidence that it is not an expression of the agape love of God. Okay? It is really an expression of just us. The Spirit desires our oneness in purpose, our oneness in fellowship, and He provides the basis for our connection. Things of this world don't do that. Not the mistakes we've made in the past, not what, you know, someone used to be. Jesus is our connection, and He is to be the basis for our fellowship. So we must set aside our personal preferences, our prejudices, our biases. After all, how can we honestly push someone away who is pursuing the Lord Jesus with their whole heart? When we do that, you know what? We're doing it to our own peril. We're being absolutely ridiculous. And it is harmful to ourselves. I want you to understand how serious this instruction is, okay? See that word I've highlighted, the word pursue? It's an extremely intense word in the Greek. Some of the ways in which this word is used is as follows. It means to run or to flee, to run swiftly in order to catch some person or thing, to run after someone or to follow without the idea of having any hindrance or any hostility. In other words, you're just free to just run full speed ahead, to eagerly seek after someone, and to earnestly desire to acquire. So clearly, this word pursue is not passive, okay? In fact, the verb is in the present active imperative tense. This means it is a command from the Lord. Therefore, it is not optional. So for those of you who think that, you know, yeah, fine, Steve, you're a little over the edge. No, this is a command. It's an imperative. God says, pursue relationships with these people. It's also in the present and active tense, meaning that it is to be your ongoing day in and day out existence. That is where every single day you're to find your fellowship, your intimacy, your connectedness. I wish, you know, there was a way for me to just embed into your hearts and into your brains how critical this is to having success in your walk with God. Okay? You guys can be a great support and a great protection in terms of your walk with God. I beg you to believe the truth and make your relationship choices accordingly. It will save you a lot of trouble if you pursue this. I encourage you to stop fighting the wisdom of God. Stop fighting against His will. Stop honoring yourself above God. The time for honoring yourself has come to a close. So yield to God's wisdom willingly. Okay, she's laughing. That was a little quote from Gladiator. I want to see if anybody would get it. Anyways, it was great. It's time to stop fighting against His will. It really is. It is time to stop honoring yourself. It's time to stop living to lift and exalt yourself up. Yield to God willingly, knowing that He loves you so much that every piece of instruction is for your benefit and not for your harm. Here's the thing. I also want you guys to understand this. Everybody, hope, pay attention. If you're falling asleep, wake up, okay? I want you to understand how rich you are in God here in this little fellowship. And I know that not everyone here is pursuing righteousness, faith, and love, and peace. Not everyone is calling on the Lord with a pure heart. But you know what? God has been so kind, okay, to give us so many in this group who genuinely love Jesus and want nothing more than to be right with him, to be experiencing him, and to just have all of him. That is why I say you are rich. And you may not comprehend it. It may not really be that meaningful to you yet. But today, where you are sitting here, you're wealthy in the Lord. You have access to the power and presence of the Spirit of God in the lives of people who are sitting here tonight. There are many who've already jumped out of the boat, okay, and are walking on water in various areas of their life. And you should want to be in relationship with them. You should want to drink the overflow that comes from their walk with God. And the great news is you don't have to be the one to first jump out of the boat. You don't have to be, you know, the icebreaker taking all the risk. Others have already heroically done that, okay, and have broken through this barrier of pride, this barrier of self, you know, exaltation, have said, no, I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. And all you have to do is join the company. Merely join along the company of those who have already decided that God is going to be their ultimate authority and the absolute priority in their lives. You can plug in, follow their footsteps, and let me tell you this. The honesty, the intimacy, the vulnerability, the security, the personal fulfillment that you will find in these relationships will be unlike any relationships you have ever experienced before. Because you know what? First of all, they're going to be embedded in truth and not all these lies and deceptions and games that we play. There will be real, raw. Yeah, people will see sides of us that still are under control of the old man. But you know what? They'll be drinking of the flavor of the Spirit. They'll be based on love. And you know what? That love is perfect and it's a good thing. But it will not happen for you. You must pursue those relationships. You must eagerly go after it and desire to be in that kind of fellowship. If you do, you will find life and peace. You know why? Because you'll be experiencing Jesus as he lives his life in and through these other people. So mark them. Get to know them. Be with them. Walk in their footsteps. Father, I just thank you that your way is always the best way. No ifs, ands, or buts. No exceptions. Your wisdom is always the true wisdom. And God, I just ask right now that you just forgive us for just running and managing our own lives according to our own ways, playing in the middle, thinking there's a middle, not being just sold out, given over to you and the people who love you. God, I thank you that, you know, this is not a list that we print and send home to everybody and say, go do these things. I thank you that it's all about believing you, accepting what you have to say, believing that your wisdom is the right thing for our lives. And as we do that and as we align our choices accordingly to these things, you make it happen. You provide the power. You provide the motivation. Your Spirit provides all that we need to live a life that brings glory to you. And God, I pray that you just unite us and just that everybody's spirit would just be pulled right now as your Spirit is just yearning us to be in oneness and to be in fellowship with each other, honoring you, being truly a body that loves each other, cares for each other, helps each other, is really concerned that each and every one of us experiences God in the fullest and just no longer walking in our flesh. And God, I also pray for everybody who's not there and who is struggling and their pride is in the way, I pray that they would be open to the involvement of people in their lives, that they would be willing to be honest, that willing to be truthful. And I pray that you help us all be willing to take that self-assessment every day, all the time, and see whether the preponderance of the ways in which people experience us reflects you. And God, that's our desire. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.